Good morning. Welcome to Life Recovery Bible with Laura on the City of Angels Radio. I hope everybody's doing well today. We're going to begin in the Life Recovery Bible by turning to page 1672 and praying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Christ did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that God will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Now let's turn to the front of the Life Recovery Bible on page A9. Step 1. We admitted that we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. And the scripture is from Paul in Romans. I know that nothing good lives in me. I want to do what's right, but I can't. Step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And Paul writes to the Philippians, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Step 3. We made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. And Paul writes to Romans, Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Step 4. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And in Lamentations it says, Let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord. Step 5. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. James writes, Confess your sins to each other and to pray for each other so that you may be healed. Step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. James says again, Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up in honor. Step 7. We humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And John writes, If we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Step 8. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And Luke writes, Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Step 9. We made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And Matthew writes, If you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar, and someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Step 10. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Paul writes to the Corinthians, If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Paul writes to the Colossians, Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Paul writes to the Galatians, Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path, and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So let's turn now to page A14 in the Life Recovery Bible and look at the 12 gifts of life recovery. I'm going to read the gifts and then I'm going to go back and read the scripture that goes along with the gifts. But these are the gifts that are ours for the opening. Hope, power, character, clarity, security, abundance, wisdom, self-control, freedom, happiness, serenity, and peace. Hope. And this is Paul writing to the Romans. And he says about hope, we can rejoice also when we run into problems and trials, for we know that these problems and trials help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. The second gift is a gift of power, and this is from Philippians and Timothy, two separate verses. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The third gift is the gift of character, and this verse is from Galatians, and Paul authored this, and he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. The fourth gift is the gift of clarity. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. The fifth gift is the gift of security. This is from Proverbs. Fear of the Lord leads to life, bringing security and protection from harm. And Paul writes to the Romans, and he said, if God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since He didn't even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, won't He also give us everything else? The sixth gift is the gift of abundance. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And that's Paul writing to the Philippians. Number seven is the gift of wisdom. And Proverbs says, fear of the Lord is a foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. And James writes, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He'll give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Number eight, self-control. But if you are not controlled by your sinful nature, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And that's Paul writing to the Romans. And this is Paul writing to the Galatians. But the Holy Spirit produces self-control. Number nine is freedom. And this is Paul writing to the Galatians. And he says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Number 10 is happiness. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Psalm 119. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. Proverbs. Serenity is the 11th gift. I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And that's Paul writing to the Romans. And number 12 is the gift of peace. And Jesus says in the book of John, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Beautiful. Just love it, love it, love it. So if anyone has access to the Life Recovery Bible, I just really encourage you to look in the topical Bible verse finder. And it starts out with all these great quotes. And they're underneath the different words that they represent, like advice or accountability or courage or children, family, encouragement, and listed underneath all of these headings and topics are the scriptural verses, and then it takes you to the page, and the page has a footnote. It is fantastic. I really encourage you to do that. One of the headings that I see here on page 828, A as in apple, 28, is hope. And it says, it starts out, it says, God gives hope to the needy. And that's Psalm 9. And it tells you the page. And then also it says, for hope, hope gives us confidence. And that's Psalm 25 on page 695. And it says, the Bible gives us hope. Psalm 119, page 764. And the next quote underneath the heading of hope is, Christians always have hope. And that's in Romans on page 1442. And hope comes from the Holy Spirit, which is Romans on page 1451. Jesus' resurrection gives us hope. And that's in Corinthians on page 1462. And we have hope in Jesus. And that's Corinthians on page 1474. And we have confidence of eternal life. And that's Titus, page 1568. I love Psalms. And I want to go ahead and follow this train of thought here. And there's three Psalms listed here underneath hope. So I want to start with the first one, which is Psalm 9, if anyone wants to turn to that. And in the Life Recovery Bible, that's on page 685. And Psalms is kind of in the middle of our Bible. And we're going to go to page 685. Psalms was mostly written by King David, and Psalms means song. So he was a musician, and he wrote all these verses to be sung. And they're just wonderful guidelines for how we can talk to Jesus and praise Jesus and God our Father. And we're looking at Psalm 9. And it says, David writes, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of the marvelous things you've done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name. O most holy, O most high. My enemies retreated. They staggered and died when you appeared. For you have judged in my favor. From your throne you have judged with fairness. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have erased their names forever. The enemies finished in endless ruins. The cities you uprooted are now forgotten. The Lord reigns forever, executing judgment from his throne. He will judge the world with justice and rule the nations with fairness. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. Sing praises to the Lord who reigns in Jerusalem. Tell the world about his unforgettable deeds. For he who avenges murder cares for the helpless. He does not ignore the cries of those who suffer. Lord, have mercy on me. See how my enemies torment me. Snatch me back from the jaws of death. Save me so I can praise you publicly at Jerusalem's gates. So I can rejoice that you have rescued me. The nations have fallen into the pit they dug for others. Their own feet have been caught in the trap they set. The Lord is known for his justice. The wicked are trapped by their own deeds. The wicked will go down to the grave. This is the fate of all nations who ignore God. But the needy will not be ignored forever. The hopes of the poor will not always be crushed. Arise, O Lord, do not let mere mortals defy you. Judge the nations, make them tremble in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know they are merely human. And then this Bible is so great. It always gives us a little footnote. And for Psalm 9, I'm going to read, there's two footnotes here. And we're on page 684, and this is Psalm 9. As we experience God's help and begin to change our life for the better, we have the responsibility to carry the message of deliverance to others so their lives can be changed too. As we allow God to help us overcome the defects in our characters, others will see what God has done for us and may also receive the gift of hope. Our painful struggles with our addictions and our compulsions and our victories through God's help can be a source of encouragement and guidance to others whose lives are headed toward destruction. The next footnote for Psalm 9, the people who set traps for others will ultimately be trapped themselves. God ensures that such people do not succeed in the long run. Those who realize they need God's help and turn to Him will receive it. Those who try to control their problems alone will ultimately fail. If we think we're in control of our own destiny or the destinies of others, we have a terrible surprise in store. One day God will step in and demonstrate who is truly in control. Since God is ultimately in control, the only wise plan is to follow is God's plan. Let's end today with the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for now and forever. Amen.
Calling all public enemies of the church, selling your body. Let